You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. We've got a special guest on the podcast today, Corey, from the very popular Ivy Envy podcast that covers Cubs baseball, is joining us. Corey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be done with the Cubs season and talk a little Notre Dame with you guys.
Corey was at the game on Saturday against Wake Forest, and he was in the suite, so he's going to tell us a little bit about that. But before we get into Notre Dame, I would like to ask you a couple of questions about the Cubs. I'm not a huge Cubs fan, but I have a lot of friends that are fans and are avid listeners of the Ivy Envy podcast. And so I guess, did the Cubs season, did it go kind of the way you were expecting?
I guess. I mean, you know, you always see, we'd have heard about the World Series hangover, but being Cubs fans, we had no idea what that was like. And so I guess this year we learned. And so I don't know. I mean, they kind of ran into a buzzsaw in the Dodgers, which, if, you know, even before the season started, you knew the Dodgers were going to be really good. So I can't say that the season was a disappointment. They won the division. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of how I would define success right now, is do that, and then you get into the playoffs and who knows what happens. But obviously would have preferred them to win two in a row, but hey, I guess there's always next year, isn't that what we say?
We've been saying that for years, but they do finally have a World Series title. So,
and then what does the podcast schedule look like for the off season for the Cup for you guys?
Yeah, we do once a week in the off season. Usually we record on Sunday evenings. And then when spring training comes back, then we kind of go back to the twice a week, usually Sunday nights and Wednesday nights.
Okay. And again, that's ivyenvy.com. Follow them on Twitter at ivyenvy if you are either an avid Cubs baseball fan or just maybe interested in becoming a Cubs baseball fan. So you were on Saturday, you said you got some of you got hooked up. You were able to watch the game from the suites. What was that experience like? And have you ever seen a Cubs game from the suites that they have? And what are some of the similarities or differences there?
Yeah. So I'll kind of tell the story of how it happened. It was really crazy. So, one of my friends, her parents have season tickets. And so this was Saturday morning. So I'm on Central Time. So it was, it would have been like 11 o'clock, Eastern Time. And she texted me and said, "Hey, my parents don't feel well. They can't go to the game today. Do you want the tickets?" And so I was like, sure. Well, I live like kind of near Peoria, Illinois. So it's a 4-hour drive to South Bend for me. It was like, yeah, I'll do that. And I'll be lucky if I can make kickoff. But it was like, you know, such an opportunity. I didn't want to pass it up. And so I have been, it was that whole, I called my brother and met him, on the interstate on the way there. And it was kind of crazy how we even got in there. I realized it came with like a parking pass. And then, as we were like pulling up to the campus, he looked at it and he said, "Oh, you can't park in the tailgating lots with trucks," this says, and we were driving my truck. So then I was, you know, like we're literally hoping to make kickoff, and now it's like another wrinkle in the plan or whatever. But I think the security guards are just like so cold and wet that they just kind of waved us through, and they didn't really check anything. They just waved us in. So, and we parked like in the third row, so it was
nice.
Very convenient.
Oh, wow.
Compared to Wrigley, so I've been to one game at the suites at Wrigley, and I mean, you know, I think Wrigley, the stadium was built in 1914, and they have made some improvements, but nothing like, you know, the improvements that we saw at Notre Dame Stadium in the last few years and in the opening this year. And so there are suites there, but they can't even, the Wrigley Field seats don't compare at all to the suite area at Notre Dame. Like for instance, like, you know, you're at Wrigley Field, you're kind of like under the upper deck. And so you can't see fly balls because you have you know, if you stand up, you can touch the upper deck that's right above your head.
Okay.
So, and it's a smaller area, you know, the amenities aren't as great. But obviously I don't get to sit in suites of any ballpark or stadium very often. So that's part of the reason I really wanted to jump on this opportunity. But, I was very impressed. It was quite an experience up there.
Is there a lot of food options when you're up there?
Yeah, so what happened was, as we pull up, I mean, there's like thousands of people trying to get into the stadium, you know, right before kickoff. And I thought, oh, I don't even really know where we're supposed to go. I've never done this before. And she just said, when she gave them to me, she said, yeah, go in door 4. So we ended up finding door 4, and it's like this, just a door. And there were like a couple of security people there, and I showed them our passes, and they took us in. And there was like an usher that like took us into an elevator and took us up to the suites and everything. So we were just kind of like ushered right in. And then when we walked in, I mean, there was just food everywhere. and it was like, it was cool because there was kind of like that snacky ballpark type stuff, you know, like popcorn and pretzels, things like that. But, I mean, I hadn't eaten because we were in such a rush to get there, and they had full meals, like really fancy salads. They had prime rib, which was pretty crazy. And yeah, just food everywhere, really, and drinks all over the place. I mean, it was really, really nice. And, you know, it kind of felt like, I guess like you would expect it with a brand new facility. It was just very nice. It didn't feel like flashy, but everything was felt very quality, I guess is the right term, but yeah, the food was nice.
So these tickets you had, are her season tickets in the suite?
Yeah, so my understanding is that, so I've used her season tickets in the past. It's been quite a few years, but they had tickets in the end zone. And really every game I've ever gone to, I've sat in the end zone, you know, a little, maybe halfway up. And I think what they did was they had the opportunity to trade in their four regular season tickets for two up in the new suites.
Okay. And what is the atmosphere like in the suites? Is it quiet? Are people yelling and cheering and rowdy?
Yeah, and that's the one thing that, you know, really stood out to my brother and I right away. Is that there are some big changes, you know, differences, I guess, from being up there. Some of the things I noticed first was I couldn't really hear the band. You could hear, like, at certain points you could hear, but, like, I should know the name of it, but the song that they play after a touchdown, between the touchdown and field goal, we couldn't hear that at all. And it wasn't that it was loud around us. It just had to do with, like, the dynamics of where we were. So we were in the suites on the other side of the stadium. When the stadium got loud, it didn't really seem loud where we were. And I think part of that, like, it didn't, and I think the people that were around us, it didn't really feel natural to get super loud. Because you felt just kind of separated from the bowl. Mm-hmm. And so, which, you know, on a cold, rainy day is kind of nice because you're covered and under heaters. And so you can sit up there in short sleeve shirts and be fine and not have to wear ponchos and everything. But when you're kind of looking for that, like, loud game day experience, like, it definitely is a little bit different up there. And as I was talking with my brother about this, I thought, you know, although I don't get to go to games all the time in Notre Dame Stadium, I know that there are, I guess, older folks that will complain about standing during games, mm-hmm. and being loud and everything. And so I kind of almost feel like these suites gave those people a place to go.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, they get the comfortable seats up there and the amenities that they probably want. And so I think that, like, the construction of those buildings on the side of the stadium probably make the stadium, the bowl, and the playing surface louder, because I think it probably traps noise in. But I also think it could make the stadium louder because the people that tend to be more quiet can sit up there, and the bowl itself can have more people that would tend to make more noise.
You're probably right. You're probably right. One other thing I'm curious about is, no alcohol is served, you know, in the main stadium area, but when you're up there, do they serve alcohol in the suites?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, they had a couple of bars But I didn't partake because I needed to drive home. So, yeah, they that's the thing is like I don't know. It sounds weird, but like everything was such high quality up there. Like even like the paper plate that was on, nice. You know, just impressed me. And you know, it's just it was really, really nice up there.
And then what was the viewing experience like from being that that high?
Yeah, the view was awesome. I really liked it. As I mentioned, I've only sat in the end zones in Notre Dame Stadium in games that I've been to, except for, you know, the blue and gold game and stuff. But the view, I mean, it's very similar to the view that you would have on TV. You know, in sitting in an end zone, when stuff is coming your direction, it's great. But if it's heading the other direction, it's usually just really hard to tell, and you have to rely on crowd noise or whatever until the, you know, except for now that they have the Jumbotron. Mm-hmm. I think that makes a difference. But the view is awesome. And that's another thing, with this being the first game that I've gone to since they've had the Jumbotron. I really liked that they basically showed the live play, as it was going on, instead of just letting the play, you know, a lot of other stadiums or ballparks I've been to, it's not showing it live after a play. They'll show a replay or something, but I kind of liked that. So that way, if you were sitting in an end zone or something, you could actually see what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My brother had the chance to, he wasn't in the suite, but he was on the outside. There's kind of a seating area on the outside of that. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the earlier games, so it was still warm outside. It's a little more enjoyable than it would have been on Saturday. But I was surprised. I always thought you needed to be, you know, an alum and donate, you know, millions of dollars to even be able to get up there. But I guess his girlfriend's uncle owns a big transport company here, Horizon Transport. And he had rented the entire floor for, like, his company. Picnic. From what I've heard, he had to spend, like, to reserve it, it's like $250,000 just to reserve it. I don't know, this could all be rumors.
So if you have money, you can get there.
I was kind of surprised that he was able to do that. That's kind of why I wondered if the tickets, you know, what the lady got the tickets from, you know, how she got the season tickets. So.
Yeah, I know that their season tickets go back a couple of generations. Okay. I believe, you know, it was actually so my friend's grandfather that had the tickets, I don't know, I think since like the 40s or 50s or something like that. And so, yeah, I just kind of assumed that was for like big donors or you know, very well-off alumni. I didn't really know that they were able to get those seats up there. And so I'm not sure if they offered that to all season ticket holders, and if so, I don't know why anybody would turn it down. But I mean, exactly. The space is definitely limited.
I know you said you didn't want to do any analysis on the game, but did you have any thoughts that you did want to share?
Yeah, the one, you know, and this is something where you know, when I go to a game, especially, you know, if I go to a Notre Dame game, I'm paying attention to pretty much every play. And when the game is done, when we're driving home, we can, you know, talk with confidence about what was happening, just like if we were watching it on TV. I can remember how drives played out and everything. And so I don't know if there were just so many distractions up there because it was all such a new experience, and I kind of wanted to experience all of that. But the game, I'm not sure. I mean, you guys could, you know, probably speak to this as far as watching on TV, but I had in the fourth quarter, like I saw on Twitter, that they were about to set the school record for offensive yardage. Mm-hmm. And I honestly thought it was a mistake. Like, it did not feel they had racked up 710 yards or whatever of offense.
I know. We kind of thought about that as well. We were talking about it, kind of the bad thing with Notre Dame having these good wins, you know, being ahead by a couple scores at halftime, is that the second half seems a little bit dragged out. Maybe you don't pay quite as much attention as if, you know, it's right. A nail biter.
So. Yeah. And I think just because the game was, I mean, it really felt like it was over at the half. I mean, it just, you know, Notre Dame had dominated the first half, you know, especially when you looked at the scoreboard. But then in the second half, and especially late in the third quarter and throughout the fourth quarter, Wake Forest was moving the ball. And my brother and I kind of got a kick out of the old timers around us that were very frustrated that, you know, you kind of hear the, that, you know, hoping that like the here we go again mentality doesn't like seep back into the players' heads or whatever. But from the people around us, that sentiment was alive and well, because they thought that Notre Dame was going to blow it. Although, you know, I sure didn't get that vibe, but yeah, I will say that, and maybe this is something where the next time I go, I won't be so, inclined to like wander around and check stuff out, and be able to pay attention to the game better. But I'll say, like, I mean, there are some small things that made a huge difference where, you know, if when a timeout was called or if there was a TV timeout, we could go to the bathroom. There's no line, and I could get back before the next snap. So, I mean, it's little things like that that are really nice too.
Oh, I'm sure. One thing that you use on your podcast, the muscle flexes, we've done a couple of them on here. Where did that originate, or how did you come up with that?
You know, I had a really busy day today, and my plan was to find an internet muscle flex for you guys for this episode, but I didn't have time. But you know, I think it's just from, and I think we kind of came up with the idea when like Instagram and you know, all these social media things were really kind of like taking off. You know, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, they've been around a while, but I think we just like seen so many just ridiculous fans takes, just terrible takes. And so we would just kind of, you know, me and my two co-hosts in our text thread, we would kind of like take screenshots and joke about it. And we thought, you know, we should turn this into a segment on the podcast where, you know, identify some of the goofiest fans that are out there. But then as that kind of took off, it became kind of overwhelming because, like, you know, I would get several emails a week of people sending me internet muscle flexes that they had found. And I don't know, in a way it kind of like seeps into your like psyche, I think. Like, I don't know, it's too much negativity.
Well, if you ever come across some good Notre Dame muscle flexes, definitely send them our way, and we'll mention it on the podcast.
I would say there's less this year because with the team doing so well, you know, there was quite a bit after the Georgia game, but there were some after the Wake Forest game, because a lot of people thought we should have dominated that game, or the score should have shown it more than it did. So,
yeah, and that's kind of where we're at with the Cubs too. You know, I mean, like, if you're a Cubs fan, like, I don't understand how you can complain after the last 3 years that we've had. Yet, if the Cubs lose 3 games in a row, there's people just, you know, wanting to like tear the team apart and trade this piece and this guy's junk and, you know, all that. And I could definitely see that being the case after this Wake Forest game, just because, you know, the score implied that it was closer than I think it really was.
Do you have any thoughts on Notre Dame's upcoming matchup with Miami, a score prediction, or maybe thoughts on the rest of the season? Do you think Notre Dame's going to be able to win out and keep this streak going?
Yeah, I really do. I think they're going to win out. I mean, I think the Miami game is probably the one that scares me the most. I'm not sure how old you guys are, but, you know, I was the Catholics versus Convicts game in 88. I was in like sixth or seventh grade at that point. And so I have found myself getting more and more excited throughout this week for this game on Saturday, because it really, like, it's both teams. Let me think about how I want to say this. I think Miami is a bit overrated right now. I don't think they're as good as their record indicates. But I guess just the excitement about the game is really cool to see. And I don't know. I just think because of that history from the late 80s. And, you know, I remember, you know, I specifically remember the night that Miami ran the score up on Notre Dame in 85. And so I think just because it's Miami, I find this really exciting. I wish it was at Notre Dame Stadium instead of in Miami, but I think Notre Dame by far has the better football team. But, you know, I'm just interested to see how both teams come out and play. I mean, and, you know, the one thing about this game, too, is that I felt unlike previous, you know, the previous few years, even in good you know, seasons that you know, Notre Dame looked really good. I feel like they've really come out and executed a really solid game plan pretty much every single game this year. And that's been really fun to see. And so I feel like, you know, I'm excited to see, I guess, what their plan is for Miami. I mean, I kind of have an idea of what they need to do, but I think that's one thing that gives me confidence, though. It's not like they're not just kind of coming out and relying on, you know, the athletes to win the game, but there's a lot of, I just really like the game plans that they've put forward. And so I think that's another reason that I'm pretty confident going into this game on Saturday.
And unlike so many years, it's either been the offense that's been dominating or the defense. I mean, this year, both sides of the ball are playing extremely well. And I'm 29 years old, and I've really only followed Notre Dame since about 2005. So in that short amount of time, I don't remember when both sides of the ball were playing really good football for, you know, for the most part throughout the season. And so it is really exciting to see a different Notre Dame team.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you think back to the 2012 season, I mean, I was excited about that team looking back on it. They just won so many close games that they probably shouldn't have won, and they really did rely on the defense. And you're right, you know, well, even like, you know, you look back at the, 2007 team or whatever, that when with Brady Quinn, I mean, that really – Charlie Weiss relied on the offense a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, this is like the most like well-rounded, solid team, and that's what I think has made them so fun to watch and easy to like buy into and kind of you know, forget about, oh, this is what can go wrong here, or this, oh, we've seen this before. Like, we really haven't seen this in a really long time, just like a solid team on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's all that we've got. Thanks again, Corey, for joining us. And then where can people follow your podcast and get the best Cubs information?
Yeah, we're in all the podcast apps. Just search Ivy Envy. And you mentioned on Twitter at Ivy Envy. And yeah.
All right. I'm excited about this. I know the fans will find this very interesting to have just some perspective from someone inside the suites. And just, yeah, thanks again for joining us. And send us some muscle flexes if you come across some good Notre Dame muscle flexes.
All right. Now that they, you know, in the off season, there's not as many Cubs ones to look for. So I'll start looking for Notre Dame ones and send them your way.
All right. Sounds good.